In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who is Marie Julie Jehenny? Marie Julie Jehenny's life is a 100% mystical life. Every day she had ecstasies in which she communicated with Jesus or the Virgin Mary, the saints or the angels. She had a lot to suffer because she was a victim soul. She offered everything to Jesus for the conversion of sinners, and Jesus gave her the stigmata of his passion so she could more fully identify with him. Every Friday she lived the passion of Jesus. She suffered a lot for some priests who believed that everything about her was hysteria and that she was deceiving everyone. For this reason, the sacraments of confession and communion were not allowed to be received by her for a long time until Pope Leo XIII himself wrote 3 personal letters to his bishop to give the sacraments to Marie Julie Jehenny. She offered everything with love to Jesus and used to say, "To suffer and not to die." Her 2 most important words for her spiritual life were suffering and love, love and suffering. Marie Julie Jehenny was born on February 12, 1850, in Coyult, very close to Blaine in France. She was baptized the next day. Her father was a cold-hearted man, but hardworking and faithful to his religious duties. Her mother was more open and friendly than her husband. With a firm character, she was honest and pious. Normally, both parents went to the sacrament of confession and communion and prayed every day as a family. Our Marie Julie was the eldest of her siblings, and she helped her parents in the countryside to the best of her ability. The great devotions of Marie Julie Jehenny were the Virgin Mary, the cross, and the Eucharistic Jesus. Sometimes she liked to go to a high mountain to see the church tower in the distance and think about Jesus who was present there. At the age of 15, she placed herself under the spiritual direction of Father David, parish vicar of Blaine. She got used to going to Mass and taking communion once during the week in addition to Sunday. She wanted to be a religious, but Father David discouraged her because of her poor health condition. On January 6, 1873, during Mass, she felt ill and had to return home immediately. For a month she was home, and she was getting worse. The doctor diagnosed her with stomach cancer. On February 12th, it was very bad. Father David came home to hear her confession. On February 15th, he found her unconscious, and on February 22nd, he gave her the anointing of the sick. That same day, Mary Julie opened her eyes and looked at a fixed point. She was seeing the Virgin, who was silent. A few hours later, the Virgin appeared to her again and said, "Dear daughter, do not fear. I am the Immaculate Virgin. You suffer." And Mary Julie added, "The Virgin leaned towards me, her right arm over her heart, her left resting on a cross. Then our mother, the Virgin Mary, put her right hand on my heart and promised to heal me on May 2nd at 3 in the afternoon. Before saying goodbye, she said, 'I'll see you again.' On March 15th, the Virgin Mary appeared to her again and said, 'Do you want to accept the 5 wounds of my divine son?' Julie accepted. Mary added, 'Do you want to suffer the rest of your life for the conversion of sinners?' She replied, 'Yes, my mother, if your divine son wishes it. I submit myself to his holy will.' And our mother, the Virgin Mary, said, 'My dear daughter, that will be your mission.'" On March 20th, 1873, Julie warned her family because she knew she was going to receive the holy wounds of Jesus. Her father went to the parish to notify the priest about this, but the priest laughed at the news. That day, there were 200 people in her house, and she started to have seizures. Her left hand started bleeding, and after 5 minutes, the same happened to her right hand. And then came the wounds on her feet and on her side. It started with a vision of Jesus, who had his 5 holy wounds bright as the sun. A ray of light came one after another from each of Jesus's wounds to make the corresponding wound for Julie. The ray of light that came from Christ's side was twice as long as those from his hands and feet and was shaped like a spearhead. She lived the pains of the passion and crucifixion of Jesus every Friday until her death. They communicated the facts to the parish priest of Blaine, and he sent a notice to the Bishop of Nantes to send an investigative commission for the following Friday. This commission was made up of 2 doctors, Father Rousteau and 2 delegates of the bishop, Father Vignard and Father Yuan. However, on Wednesday, Julie's mother went to visit the parish priest of Blaine and told him on behalf of her daughter, If the doctors come from Nantes and Dr. Sorte accompanies them, the Virgin Mary has said that her presence will prevent the holy wounds of Jesus from bleeding. She also said no doctor should touch her. On Friday, March 28th, there were many people in the place, between 5 and 10,000 people. Those sent by the bishop arrived early, accompanied by some doctors from the surrounding area. Julie told them that the blood would not come out. They had disobeyed. Some people present at that moment murmured, and others even blasphemed. The investigation took a lot of time, and the people from outside were impatient and started to come in. They all saw Julie in her bed and the visible holy wounds of Jesus on her hands, but there was no blood. The general opinion was unfavorable for Julie, and even less favorable the report that the doctors sent to the bishop. They stated that there was nothing supernatural and everything was due to a nervous breakdown without miraculous phenomena. Her brother Carlos had been sick with his left knee for 16 months and could not sleep at night. Julie, to whom the Virgin had promised to cure her on May 2nd, asked her to cure her brother Carlos that same day. That day, Father David brought her communion. There were about 40 people and 5 priests present. It started with an assault from a demon who, with God's permission, made her suffer with such violent movements that the bars of the bed broke. This lasted an hour and a half. Then came the calm. The Virgin appeared to her, and Mary Julie Jehenny said, "My mother, I ask you for the healing of my brother." At that moment, Carlos began to tremble and cry. He felt a snap in his knee. He got up and was able to walk normally. Then he hugged his sister, full of emotion. Julie told the people, "Our mother, the Virgin Mary, wants you to recite the Veni Creator Spiritus and the Ave Maris Stella." When these prayers were finished, Julie announced, "Rejoice, the Virgin Mary has smiled at you. Give me my clothes, I'm cured." Some women helped her dress, and she showed herself to the people who entered. There were a total of 2,000 people at that time. The next day, Julie and Carlos went to the church in Blaine for Mass and to receive communion as thanksgiving. On August 31st, the Virgin Mary said to Julie, "I will give you a crown of thorns." On October 7, 1873, Julie was with her sister Angela and began to complain of a headache. Her sister observed that she had a red crown around her head on her forehead. They were like little dots from which blood came out. Angela ran to tell Father David. He was able to verify that the crown was well formed. Those present at that time were surprised. They got down on their knees and prayed the Magnificat. In addition to the holy wounds, Julie received others, such as one on the left side of her back, from carrying the cross on his shoulder, and the marks of the scourging. She also received some inscriptions on her chest, such as O Crux Ave, a flower, and a heart. On June 11, 1874, Julie was deaf to all human voices except those of her relatives, her confessor, her bishop, and his delegates. She also heard the liturgical songs, the sermons, the bells, and the songs of the birds. On Friday, July 17, 1874, the Bishop of Nantes, her bishop, arrived at her home. He spoke personally with her and her family and attended the ecstasy of the crucifixion. The bishop was convinced of its accuracy and authenticity. But not everything was easy. When Monsignor Fournier died, another bishop came who did not see Julie's events favorably. Some priests turned him against her. They believed that everything was the result of her hysteria, fantasy, or things of the devil, and that she needed to be exorcised. 22 days after the death of Monsignor Fournier, the capitular vicar Monsignor Lespine prohibited Marie-Julie Jehenny from being able to receive the sacraments, and for 11 years they were denied, both by some priests and the new bishop Monsignor Lecoque. It was a prohibition with the sole exception of the danger of death. They accused her in Rome of being a manipulator and deceiver. They sent her 2 representatives from the Holy Office, Father Cormier, Superior General of the Dominicans, and later in 1886, Father Semenenko, consultant to the Holy Office. Father Semenenko reported favorably about her, thanks to God. Pope Leo XIII sent Cardinal Rampolla to clarify the matter, and if necessary, to exorcise her, but the cardinal stated that it was not a case of possession and that none of that was necessary. Pope Leo XIII himself wrote to the Bishop of Nantes, inviting him to be more gentle with her and to give the sacraments to her. then-Bishop Monsignor Lecoq named the parish priest of San Donato as Julie's confessor, but he came to the conclusion that the best for Julie was to enter a religious community so she could receive communion every day. Julie always had a great appreciation for Pope Leo XIII, whom she called her father, who wrote 3 personal letters to Bishop Lecoq so they would attend Julie with sweetness and charity. She prayed a lot for sinners and asked for the intercession of the Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, St. Michael, St. Martin of Tours, King St. Louis, and the stigmatized saints. She loved St. Joseph very much. Father David tells us that she very much embraced an image she had of St. Joseph. In the ecstasy of March 3, 1882, St. Joseph said to her, "If you knew my power before Jesus and Mary, come to me, I am on the left of Jesus. I am the great protector of the souls in purgatory. I often inspire devotion to these suffering souls." One day she said to Jesus, "I want to die under the gaze of the Virgin Mary with the assistance of St. Joseph, covered by the wings of angels, the smile of St. Francis of Assisi, and of all the saints." The demon tormented her greatly. He appeared under different figures, including saints or angels, and also as ferocious beasts or monsters, and snatched the relics or pious objects from her. The demon pursued her in many ways. Many times the demons scratched her, and Father David cured the scratches with holy water. On September 2nd, the demon appeared to her in the form of a virgin and then changed into a beast, tearing Julie's clothes and taking objects of piety. But Father David forced the evil one in the name of Jesus to return them, and the objects appeared instantly. Sometimes the demon shoved handfuls of grass or blood-soaked rags into her mouth. One afternoon, Julie was walking through the garden with her sister, when suddenly they were attacked by the demon and thrown to the ground. Julie's mouth was full of herbs and other materials. Father David demanded in the name of Jesus that the demon remove them, and the evil one did. In the ecstasy of July 16, 1901, she says, "The Virgin Mary wore the brown scapular on her chest. It is a bright light like a blazing sun. I see a multitude of souls wearing the scapular on their chest." And our mother, the Virgin Mary, said, "My children, if you knew the protection and the graces that are received from this scapular, at the moment of death, I present this holy image to Satan, and it is enough to make him release his prey. I attend the deaths of everyone who wears this scapular, and often I get many graces for the last moments for making purgatory shorter. I have never allowed anyone who has worn the brown scapular all his life to perish as Satan's prey. May her life inspire and encourage us on the path of holiness, and may we say with sincerity and our will, I want to be a saint. And if we do not become canonized saints, at least by trying and desiring, may we faithfully fulfill the mission that God has entrusted to us in this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen."